The present conference is by way of prelude for the whole retreat. I am calling this a Eucharistic retreat. My plan is to have the Holy Eucharist as a central theme around which all the conferences are to resolve. More specifically, our focus during the retreat, as a Eucharistic retreat, will be on the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Moreover, this focus will be on the real presence in order that we might more clearly understand what we believe. Its purpose, therefore, will be that is of the retreat, to teach us the meaning of the Holy Eucharist as the presence sacrament that Christ instituted, the presence sacrament of Christ living on earth. You may ask, why concentrate on understanding the real presence? Because if there is one theme in my 40 years of the priesthood, it has been on the indispensability of grasping, of penetrating, of having the mind enter into what we believe. And over the years, I've never tired repeating, as we say in Latin, ad nauseam. What Christ told his disciples, as recorded in the 13th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. A good sower went out to sow good seed. There's another parable with both a good and a bad sower. That's not this one. A good sower with all good seed. And the seed, as we will know, fell on four kinds of ground. Only the last of the four produced any yield. But the first of the fruitless soil was a soil, as Christ describes it, the pathway walked on, trodden under, and therefore the seed could not penetrate into the soil. So what happened? The birds had a feast day. When then the disciples pressed Jesus to explain what he meant, he said, regarding the first of the fruitless kind of soil, they are those who, having received the word of God in their hearts, this should be burned into our minds. Having the Word of God sown in their minds. Because they fail to understand the Word of God. The devil came along and, like a bird of prey, stole this Word of God from their hearts. That's why, during these 8 days of the retreat, we shall concentrate on the Eucharist, and within the Eucharist, on the real presence, and within the real presence, on trying, always with the help of God's grace, but we must exert the effort, the mental efforts, to grasp, to make intelligible what we believe. We are living in the most critical era of the Catholic Church's history. Millions of once believing Catholics have given up their faith. One dies alone, how will I know? In the United States, has dissolved 40 parishes in 1 year. There must be a reason. There is. The Catholic faith cannot just be believed to be retained. It must be understood. And there is no option. We so frequently and zealously and correctly insist on developing, you name the virtues. Patience, charity, chastity, humility, obedience. They are the one virtue on which all the other virtues depend, is faith. And how this needs to be said, and we believe with the intellect, is our minds are thoroughly convinced and our conviction keeps growing with increased intelligibility. Oh, the inevitable happens. Not only will the other virtues weaken or be lost, but faith itself will disappear. The strength, therefore, of the Catholic Church in any period of her history depends on the depth of understanding their faith among those who profess themselves to be Catholic. I've struggled with too many priests trying to keep them in the faith and not always succeeded. Not to know that the millions of what we casually call the faithful who depend on the strength of the faith of the priests. Inevitably, is corresponding weakened and bombing what I mean, what I'm saying, miraculous grace from God. You don't keep the faith today. I've been telling one audience after another, by being an ordinary bishop, ordinary priest, ordinary religious, ordinary father or mother, ordinary Catholic man, woman, or even child. Only heroic faith can withstand the demonic pressures on the Catholic Church in our day. Given the widespread breakdown of once flourishing Catholic parishes and dioceses, of once vibrant religious institutes, there must be a reason. I repeat, there is. Weakening of faith produces weakening of commitment. In the episcopate, in the priesthood, in religious life, in marriage, in the family, and in Catholic society. Within the ask, against this background, is the basic question underlying this retreat. Is there some one basic mystery of the Catholic faith whose weakening has been the root of this massive crisis of faith? Yes, there is. The single most fundamental mystery of Christianity that mainly needs to be strengthened and deepened if we are to even preserve the Catholic Church in any part of the world, and should he renew the church in our day, is called, and has it over the centuries, the mystery of faith. The mystery of the real presence of Jesus Christ on earth. The mystery of the Holy Eucharist, as the Son of God, who became the Son of Mary, who provided, we believe, and of the depth that we believe, we are sure this God-man, who was born on Christmas Day, is in our midst. Now, on earth, in the fullness of his divinity and humanity. And be sure you have a conjunction in that sentence. In his divinity and humanity. At this point, in our opening conference, I would like to speak of two things. First, at some length, I want to draw on the late Paul VI encyclical, What Else? Mystery of Faith, published in 1965. On the real presence. And then, still in our introduction, then more briefly, propose a plan for this retreat. 8 full days of concentration on God's greatest gift to us and our greatest source of life and courage in the following of Christ as a condition for possessing Christ in the world to come. First then, from Mysterium today. The encyclical Mysterium Fidei was published by Paul VI on September the 3rd, 1965. What is historically unusual about that encyclical? It was published during the sessions of the Second Vatican Council. Years after the encyclical was published, every single concern that Paul VI had, every worry, every anxiety he expressed in Mysterium Fidei has been dramatically verified. The Holy Father began by saying he hoped the Second Vatican Council would inaugurate a new era of Eucharistic piety among the faithful. He earnestly hoped, he said, the rich fruits of Eucharistic devotion will grow out of the Reformed literature. He foresaw, I quote, the Holy Church with his saving sign of his devotion raised on high, inviting all who bear the name of Christian to the unity of faith and love, and draw them gently together by the working of divine grace. Paragraph after paragraph, the Pope repeats how hopeful he still is at 65 that the Catholic Church of the future will be strongly liturgical because she is strongly Eucharistic. Then he expressed what was the main reason for publishing. Popes just never, the adverbs never, publish encyclicals during sessions of a general council. The word is never. Paul the Sixth thought himself in duty bound, before the council closed, to express his fears. He says, I am now paraphrasing, instead of transubstantiation, there are now, past 65, there are now in circulation theories about transignification, about transfinalization. Writers, said the Pope, are claiming that Christ the Lord is no longer in the consecrated hosts, left after the celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass. Then he said, such opinions do great harm to Eucharistic faith and worship. Continue the Pope. These erroneous ideas have to be corrected. Otherwise, the great hopes of the Council for liturgical renewal will be frustrated by the seed of false opinions already sown. With his customary charity, Paul the Sixth does not impute bad intentions to the sowers of these false ideas. He presumes that they are still sincere, although misled. And he says, we cannot approve the opinions being circulated, and we have the duty to warn you of the great dangers of these ideas involved for a right faith. That was 1965. Let me tell you, every single false opinion about the Holy Eucharist that Paul the Sixth said had to be corrected, every one of them has been multiplied and amplified and circulated among the faithful since the publication of Mysterium Fidei. Every one of the Pope's concerns about the liturgical renewal inaugurated by the Second Vatican Council have been dramatically justified. This is the sub-theme for this retreat. I believe they're near the center of the Church's crisis in the Western world in our day. Here's the doubt and denial in an ever-widening circle of once professed Catholics about their faith in the real presence. Literally, hundreds of articles in papers and magazines, whole published books volume after volume about the, quote, new liturgy. All of these are now contrasting what is called the pre-conciliar and the post-conciliar understanding of the Eucharist. The massive desacralization of the Mass, the hidden tabernacles, the missing pews, the iconoclasm perpetrated on Catholic churches, the reduction of hundreds of churches to social meeting halls, the casual handling of the sacred species. They've all been censured by one pope after another, but the devastation goes on. All of this is by way of preparation. My plan is to cover three essential parts of an oceanic subject, answering in sequence the three basic questions that the mind always asks about any mystery of the faith. First, what do we believe when we believe in the real presence? What do we believe? And remember, we believe with the mind. Pardon me. We should believe with the mind. Secondly, why did Jesus Christ institute the Holy Eucharist as his bodily presence on earth? God is all wise. He must have had a profound reason for instituting what is, from one perspective, the deepest mystery of our faith, from another, the most sublime. Why? And then thirdly, because this is a retreat. How are we to put this mystery of faith into practice in our personal lives? As members of families, whether a domestic family of parents and children, or the supernatural family of an institute of consecrated life. The future of all family life, whether domestic or consecrated, depends on the faith of someone in the real presence. But again, still on the how are we to put this mystery into practice in our apostolate to others, whether we are priests or deacons or religious or dedicated members of the laity? I have no doubt that if we take this Eucharistic retreat to heart, and implement it in our individual and social lives, we shall make a major contribution to the sanctification of the Church, to our own sanctification, and to the extension of Christ's kingdom in the modern world. We ask ourselves, as we begin this retreat, what exactly is the value of concentrating on the Eucharist for 8 successive days? Is it because the Holy Eucharist is so satisfying for our spiritual lives? Is it because if our faith is strong in the Holy Eucharist, our devotion to the sacrifice of the Mass, to Holy Communion, and to Christ's real presence will be deepened? All of that is true. But I remember what audience I am speaking to. The retreat is on the real presence. However, behind our faith in Christ's real presence in the Blessed Sacrament rests everything else in Christianity. Why? Because without the real presence, there is no sacrifice of the Mass. Does not exist. Either there is a real presence of Christ on earth, and then there is a real sacrifice of Christ offering himself on our altars every time that the Eucharistic sacrifice is repeated. There can be no Mass unless there is a real Christ. Well, if there can be no sacrifice of the Mass without the real presence, how can there be a real presence? One indispensable, divinely ordained condition that there is a priesthood. I repeat, unless there is a real presence, there cannot be a real sacrifice of the Mass. But there cannot be a real presence unless he was on earth. Once Christ, the great high priest, left his world in visible form, then there is no other way that Jesus Christ can be on earth today unless there is a priesthood that makes his continued presence on earth possible. In other words, without the priesthood, there is no real presence. But then we ask, what's left if there is no priesthood? And the answer is, nothing is left of the Catholic Church, and the word is nothing. There is no Catholic Church. And unless there is a Catholic Church, there is no Christianity. Except as a pious philosopher that some religious-minded people still believe in. All of this is locked up in the retreat that we are beginning with this introduction tonight. Notice what we are saying. Our concentration is on the real presence, but it's not because there are so many mysteries of the faith, we might just as well choose one. Oh no. The future of the Catholic Church in one Western country after another is on trial. 21 years in working for the Holy See has taught me many things. What I've learned is the most serious, deepest, most devastating crisis in all the 2,000 years of the Church's history we are undergoing now. And the root of that crisis, from one perspective, is the priesthood. From another perspective, is the real presence, which without the priesthood is impossible. Christ came to save the world from hell and for heaven, from sin, for His grace. Very well, as we'll see at length and I hope in depth. It is through the Holy Eucharist that Christ, who died on the cross to redeem the world, it is mainly through the Eucharist that He keeps conferring, communicating those graces of salvation which He won for a sinful world on Calvary. That's what makes us Catholics. They believe that Christ instituted the Church so that through the Church the graces of salvation might be communicated to a sin-laden world. And the main source of those salvific graces is the Holy Eucharist and the foundation, the bedrock of the Eucharist is the real presence. I repeat in one declarative sentence. Without the real presence, there is no Catholic Church. and without a church, he believed. There be no means of salvation. And my friends, not just for us, we have the Catholic faith, but for anyone. Lord Jesus, as we enter this retreat, we ask you to keep our minds alert. Open the eyes of our intellect that we may see more clearly than we've ever seen before, more deeply, more meaningfully, what you gave us when you instituted the Holy Eucharist. And as you promised, you fulfilled the promise. You have remained with us until now. And you promised to remain with us until the end of the world. Make us, dear Jesus, make us understand the real presence here on earth, so that believing in your presence without seeing you, we might one day possess you in that eternal Eucharist, which is the beatific vision for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.